The footies on Triple M. The weekend is here.
Oh, I like it.
And so is Triple M footy.
And doesn't he love it?
I just want to say I've got a pretty good feeling about this.
This is the Friday Huddle.
Farine Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
That's it. Hope you've had a fantastic week. It's only going to get better now as the Friday Huddle comes your way. Port Adelaide taking on Richmond in 1 hour and 50 minutes time. So much fun between now and then. Yes, we've got the Michael Voss will join us on the show. David Roden, who played for both these football clubs and is now a goal umpire, will join us. Beat the Chief is back. You'll get a chance to take the Chief on later in the show. Judge Jason is in the house. Nate's top five. Everything is assembled for a fantastic Friday night. And the captain of the team is here with a big smile on his face, Luke Darcy. Hello, Darcy.
Hello, Howard. Big smile on my face. Very happy. Very positive vibe. Yes. Feeling very good. Had a good week. Back in my old chair. Spent a lot of time sitting right here.
Did you miss it?
No. thanks for all yours, Marty. But I'm just happy. I'm happy to be around. Footy was good last night. I enjoyed calling the game last night. I thought it was fantastic.
He's funny, Marty. I like him.
Marty is a very, very funny man.
No, nice needed change, someone you funny reckon? No, needed someone funny.
Well, probably fair point.
No. You think it was a nice change, Nath?
No, of course not, Howard. I love the Duke.
Welcome to you as well,
very funny
how
man.
Are you?
Very good, Howard. I walked out the door tonight and my wife, Christina, said, you are an amazing man. I just had to agree with her, Howard, when I went out the car. It made me feel good. We've got a great marriage and it's good to be in love.
Well, that's a beautiful love story, Damien Barrett.
He might have OD'd on the Shakers, I think. he could possibly have overdone it.
I'll get to the Chief in a moment to describe the look on his face that Nathan was saying that is something else. But Damien Barrett's here as always. Hello, Damo.
I am worried about Brown. He's changed, hasn't he? I don't know whether it is the Shakers or whether it's this Bitcoin that he's obsessed with, but what we got in 2021 is not the Nathan Brown I think we've come to know,
no.
And we might have to delve into that.
The Chief is here. Hello, Jason.
Good evening, one and all. I can think of at least 100 different words his lovely partner could have used. Ahead of amazing. Seriously. You're kidding yourself, aren't you? And giggling about it. Something wrong. I agree with you, Damo. He's a different man. Ever since he got sucked into that crypto vacuum.
It's a change for
whatever
the
they spat out is different.
How's it gone this week, the cryptos?
That's been good, Howard.
Has
very,
it?
Very good. So I'm going to give you a crash course on it later in the top five.
Oh, good. I look forward to that.
It's a bit like you, though, Chief. You went from being grumpy, angry Chief to happy Chief, and we didn't like you when you were happy Chief. And now you've reverted back.
No, the difference is I've always been happy Chief. I was role-playing originally.
Oh, right.
And then I just got sick of playing someone else.
It's a 40-year role that you've
it's
been...
It's a long role-playing.
But you're back to angry Chief.
You're a method actor, Chief.
I am a very good method actor. That is exactly what it is, Chief.
Now, just I know this is not good radio, but we're here and we've got a couple of boys, Damo and Nath, ordered Maccas. Tunners just still needed your order. You're after Pizza Dar, so if you could just tell us what you're after.
I'd like to get the catering sorted here and Chief's back. And you know, if you don't cater appropriately for Chief, then...
What pizza are you after?
We're just going to get the normal order that we ordered,
and
Chief.
And what are you after?
I'll be having a gluten-free pizza tonight.
What sort of gluten-free pizza?
A vegetarian gluten-free pizza.
Come on, Chief. Mate,
just have the cardboard box that it comes in.
You don't say that sort of stuff out loud. People can hear you.
That's my order. That's what I ordered.
Chief, what's embarrassing?
My body's a temple, Nate.
Do we need two of those?
Some people in this room don't care so much.
No, the order went around, Howie, and I, point blank, when I was asked, they said, what would you like? I said, anything for a man, please. After a gluten-free veggie went by. I'm with you, Brownie. Why would you say that in public? Seriously, I would have written it on a note, folded it four times and slipped it to him. Oh, see, my, a gluten-free vegetarian, please. See, I know the air's been up there, but holy shit.
You got to get out of the cave, mate. You got to get out of the cave because...
Oh, mate. I'm just a happy little troglodyte, my friend.
Come on, Duke.
Happy little troglodyte.
Damo, we don't normally deal with news at the start of the show, but, well... Well, let's call it news. You've got something you wanted to get off your chest. And I always like it when you become funny, Damo, because I think it works. What do you got for us?
No, it's in keeping with Darcy's,
funny stuff
Darcy's motto.
It's good. When we put Damo up the top of the order.
We put our own muddy shiggold in.
Hang on a minute. Your ideas on this show, Darcy, and they've been well entrenched. One of us is in the news. We've got to address it. And you've subscribed to that.
Absolutely.
And it's been good for all of us.
Absolutely.
We've all had to sit up there.
Yep. No problems with this at all.
Well, we need
have
to,
I been in the news, have I?
We need to address something involving you. We've got a lot of amusement out of the jostling at Channel 7 for initially when Bruce was still there, but now that it's got reached new levels, Chief, since that Bruce has retired and moved on. And BT last Monday, Howie, it was. We started getting into him, and to his credit, for the first time addressed it publicly.
He lifted the lid. We picked his brain.
And took us behind the scenes as to the backstabbing that is going on.
There's a lot going on between JB, Darce and Haim and myself. We're all battling and...
Oh, it's not you. You're established.
No, you're there.
You're established.
You're above it all.
I've never seen manoeuvring behind the scenes like I'm currently seeing. And a lot of... A lot of bitchiness sort of associated with who's doing what and how good am I going, and he rang me and he didn't ring me.
Should you be going positively about your own work, or do you need to white ant the opposition as well?
No, you need to definitely white ant.
Now, everyone has addressed this, but BT is the latest to address it. Jim's addressed it. Hamish has addressed it. Yep. You're the last one to address it. Yep. We need to...
To address what exactly, Damon?
Your role in this whole place.
I listen to that and I think... Perfect insight into Brian. I think anyone would be surprised to think that would be Brian's take on the world. Because he unashamedly, BT, the most selfish human being in the history of the earth. And that's what I love about BT, because he's unashamed about it. Damo, that is just a
mischievous... But the white that is going on...
No,
does,
of course there's not.
There was even the Good Friday telethon, there was friction when it was on air. Jim didn't quite get the messaging around the requirements on air.
Fair to say, he didn't get the tone of Good Friday.
What did he go with?
Right. He went with his sportsman's night sort of material, JB, on the Good Friday panel. It was my take. Started to sort of suggest Wispy Watson would rather be anywhere else than sitting on the panel, which is not quite the tone of the way that event
So
rolls.
Have you been jostling for this Channel 7 call-in gig?
That's what I'm trying to get to, Brownie. I was just sort of wheezing into it.
Far from that. And you know me well enough to know, Nate. That
well, I think that's the problem. We do know you well enough.
Far from...
But you're not as loud as the other guys, so you're doing it in a different way. That's what I think. You're doing it behind closed doors, and it could be a bit of white
calling
handing.
On the Saturday night team, which is a fantastic slot for about 8 or 9 years now, Nate. So why would I love? I call Friday Night Footy here. What am I jostling for?
Damo, to leave you guys? I think you got some more
information.
Actually,
now I think about it. I'd love to get away from this group of morons. I'm actually going to get back in there and have a go.
Do you still think they're holding the weapon interview against you?
Holding the weapon interview? I think a few people are.
So surely, Damo, if he hasn't spoken, it means he knows something.
Is that one way or the other.
Well, one way or the other. Either he knows he's already got it, or either he knows he's not a chance.
What am I negotiating for?
What do you think it may be, Chief? Because we've got our people at Triple M to look into this forensically.
Yeah. Oh, forensically.
And upon resumption of the Channel 7 coverage this year, our people.
You've got people.
And the forensic analysis of the dynamic that is Channel 7 footy now since the start of the 2021 season.
Which is flying, by the way, Channel 7 footy. Never been better, never been more enjoyable.
Our people came back on a percentage basis of who's had most airtime and who's had most impact.
Statistical breakdown. So,
This is very forensically analysed.
Of the most airtime on 7 across the start of the first four rounds. Most impact.
This is really who's numbers. Had the most.
Right, what do you got
an algorithm going.
Come on.
Jim came in pretty well.
Right.
BT, because he's BT.
For the amount called or the popularity of the call?
Everything that the forensic analysts came back with.
Right.
Yep. Hamish came in.
So it's all encompassing.
And Darce, I'm sorry, but you tailed in last on this forensic analysis.
And I'm very comfortable, Damo, in that. There's no need to do anything apart from do your role, Damo. So that
may not have been accurate, that forensic analysis. That may have been something I just made up just on this podcast.
And I suspect you did. We take that on face value.
So I think what he's trying to say is it seems that Brian is ensconced on Friday nights, which is fantastic. He's a fantastic caller. But I think what Damien's trying to say, there's a decision to be made at some point between James, Hamish and yourself.
No,
who takes the cream
JB
spot?
JB takes
it's done, is it?
Absolutely.
So you've given
up. When was that decision made?
Is that public?
Because that hasn't been made public, Damon. We were told via the press who had spoken to Channel 7 that they would all get a go and then we'd see which one worked the best.
But I think these days you see, Chief, but there's nothing to concede.
No,
Damon.
I
did Thursday night footy last night. I did Sunday the other week. I call Saturdays every week. You know the way that works with your
roster. Let's be brutally
honest. There's nothing mischievous
about it. It's a three-horse field.
Yep.
And when they opened markets, Duke was 100-1. But the bookies got it wrong. I would be winding it out to 1,000. Because the fact that he hasn't spoken means he has no chance. He will be. He will be sitting with all his mates around a box of gluten-free vegetarian pizza, and just having an absolute ball on his own.
So, for all the people who haven't fallen asleep because we gave Damo the off-the-top slot, which we should never ever do again, because to use our old mate's term, put a glass eye to sleep, Damo. What would you want that what you're looking at is an egomaniac environment where you go, I love calling the footy. Does it matter if it's Thursday? Does it matter if it's Saturday night? Fantastic. How lucky are we to go to the football and call a game of football? Howie, that's a simple, I'm a simple man. I don't jostle for anything.
Damo, have they gone to the extent,
behind the scenes, as
have they gone to the extent that we've heard previously that people have jotted down how long people have commentated for and how long they've commentated for and presented that to management.
So now we're getting onto something. That's interesting. So the amount of airtime that's been called has been
brought into question.
Because I believe that's got its roots back here in Triple M, Chief, back in the early days where
there some people like to call more than others, do you think?
Well, potentially.
Who, Duke?
Well, I'm talking way back in the Triple M days. I think there was a stopwatch brought out by someone's family member who was listening to the radio.
We've aired that. That was Brian Taylor and Tanya. We've aired that part of it. Is there someone else who's done that?
Well, not that I'm aware of. No, that wouldn't. There's a cadence to calling football. You just hand it over when it goes out. It's not that hard, Chief.
If you come to Fox, you get the opportunity to call the whole game by yourself. So there's that opportunity there for you. We might take a break. But just say point blank, you've got no interest in calling Friday Night Football on Channel 7.
I called Friday Night Footy the other week. I did it the other week. So if I'm asked to call anything, Dave, it could be Thursday, could be Wednesday, could be Anzac Day on a Monday. The door's always open to do anything that is good, Howie.
So you would go to Channel 7 and take that call over the call that you're paid
that's
to do
no,
here?
No, no. Question.
I would take any opportunity to get as far away from this group of people. Yeah, absolutely.
You prefer 7 to Triple M?
Oh, yeah.
Now we got some
truth. No, 7 to you, idiots.
Now, Judge Jason took the show by storm in the first week when it ran for 13 minutes. The second week was trimmed down to 3 minutes. It was very good. It's taken over from Judge Juddy, whoever he was. It is now time for...
In the world of AFL, there is one legend who rises above everyone else.
You want me to bring something to the table, I'll bring it.
Whose opinions and judgments we respect.
Your arrogance has been offensive tonight.
The situations are real. The verdicts are final. This...
I bet you'll jam it.
...is Judge Jason.
Now, Howie, you need to get with the program.
How's that?
Judge Jason is a thing of the past. That was a kitschy name that you blokes ran with because you couldn't think of anything else. So if we could go to the real stinger, please.
Come inside and have some fun. The party's only just begun.
I bet you'll jam it.
This is Chief's Slaughterhouse.
Oh, jeez. Much better. Can we run children and a chainsaw? I'm not sure about that.
The slaughterhouse. I like it. Okay. I'm genuinely concerned
about
the future of Triple M at the moment.
Yep.
A couple of people that have caught my attention with some of their behaviour. And first and foremost, I think when former players embarrass the club with which they made a name, that's dangerous territory.
Mm.
Because, let's start with a clip that I heard during the week. Basically, sometimes you're privy to inside information.
Right.
You are trusted not to allow that out.
Mm.
But this happened.
Jeremy Cameron, when's he coming back, Bill?
Well, no, I think he's going okay. I think he's going okay.
They have to be conservative. He won't be coming back anywhere soon, I would have thought.
I think he'll be back soon.
How soon?
Well, how soon, Bill?
Maybe around 7 or 8.
Well, that's not soon.
7 or 8?
That's a month away.
Well, they've got to make sure he's right. Because
well, that's not soon.
He's never done a hammy.
I didn't think he was going to be out till 7 or 8. I thought maybe 5 or 6.
I meant to say 5 or 6.
Hang on.
So what had happened was he was privy to information that there'd been a setback and it'd be another few weeks and he just dropped it for all and sundry, which I think is just disgraceful.
Yes.
But then I happened to be watching the Easter Monday Classic, as they do. Yes. Geelong and the Hawks, they always put on a great game. It doesn't matter how either team's travelling, it's always close, and it's a beauty. And late in the game, there were a few lead changes, and it got very, very tight, and they kept showing shots of Hawthorn president Jeff Kennett walking around up the concourse of the part of the stand he was in. And right behind him was a glassed-in area where people had the privilege of watching the game, imbibing with a few ales and basically enjoying themselves. Bill Brownless was in this area, and he was there with his brother Blair. And you talk about not embarrassing your footy club. Well, because of the screen in the area that he was drinking, he knew every time they cut to Jeff Kennett, he was in the background. And every time it cut to Jeff, he would appear in the background. And behind a former premier and current club president's back, he was pulling faces and making gestures with his fingers. I mean, this is just bringing a club into disrepute. Now, they won the game. I think we all thought they were probably going to win, but he's got to show some better form of behaviour, surely.
I agree.
And then we shouldn't, talking about his brother Blair, I never realised this, but he started out doing some boundary work for Triple M.
Yep.
Did he?
Blair, did he?
Play a little clip of it.
I'm in the box here, actually. You're just taking in the game. Actually, the curtain raiser. Conditions are absolutely fantastic. The sun's out. There's no wind. The ground's in excellent condition. I know it's raining in Hobart and Melbourne,
boy,
but here in Launceston, it is magnificent.
So are you a genuine brother? He must be a stepbrother, is he? Well, why does one talk okay and the other hasn't got a clue what he's talking about? I can only assume there's no blood, and it's obviously your stepbrother. And then if that's not bad enough, we have a producer who has a big decision to make. Do we not?
Oh, we do. Yeah.
Yep.
So Snorkel has to make a very big decision between producing Friday night or Saturday afternoon
due to budget issues.
So I rang him today and I had a couple of questions I wanted to ask him. He answers the phone, and there was a racket going on. It just sounded like someone was smashing stuff. I said, what are you doing? He goes, just throwing some steel around. I said, what?
No.
He said, well, you don't get a rig like this unless you're tossing some serious steel around.
Oh, no.
So you understand why I have genuine concerns for Triple M heading forward.
Oh, yeah.
Howie. That is Chief Slaughterhouse this week. People need to have a look at themselves.
For those of you who haven't actually caught a visual of the Big Nose producer, Howie, in comparison, he makes you look like sort of Schwarzenegger.
Thank you.
That's the build of the Big Nose producer. So I'd suggest he wouldn't have been throwing much around, would he, Nate?
Wouldn't have been throwing much around at all. Probably just the bar without the weights on it. But he can throw them around on his nose. It's that big.
Leroy, what's happening, Leroy? We got a phone. Someone's rang in. All right. Welcome to the Friday Huddle. Howie, who's speaking?
G'day, Howie. Good evening, gents. It's Blair Brownless here, all the way from Hobart.
Yes.
And I just want to compliment Jason. You're absolutely spot on.
You are blood brothers, aren't you?
Bill likes to call me the older brother, but I'm the younger one. You can see.
Well, so you were just listening and you decided to give us a call, did you, Blair?
Yeah, Triple M Hobart, where you're massive down here, you guys. And I'm listening in. I thought Jason was going to tee off on me, but he actually turned it around nicely and said some kind words.
So, Blair, that was you in the window that we saw carrying on with Big Brother Bill.
Like pork chops.
Is that you?
Yeah, that was it. That was it. But I must say, even before we got to the game, we had about three or four schooners at the Duke before we even turned up at the function. So we were nice and charged, but look, we were just minding our own business, really, there. And in fact, you saw that I was actually helping Jeff out, actually. I was just telling him how long to go in the game. As simple as that. Misunderstanding.
Blair, how come you're so eloquent?
Well, that's very true, because how embarrassing for me. I was in Year 10 at Assumption College, and Bill was in Year 12. And Bill said, don't worry about the study, young Blair. Just pass footy and cricket. And that's what he did. He failed Year 12, Year 13, and Year 14. And so I thought, no, I've got to do better than this. So I managed to get to Teachers College and become a teacher.
All right, good on you, Blair. We appreciate you calling in.
Good on you, Dan. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, I don't think that went so well.
No.
It looked good on paper, that idea.
Whose idea was that?
That was Stunners.
Yeah, that was Snorkel. And let me tell you, they're not launching a rocket between the two of them either, are they? Wow.
Damo, we could get to some news. We've got Michael Voss in a few moments. Just something that I need to bring up now. On the back of Judge Jason and Nate's top five. Now, I'm very cognizant when you start talking religion, you need to be very respectful because people are
correct
into all sorts, whether you're Catholic, yep, or whether you're Christian, or whether you're like Nathan Buckley, as Juddy told us, whether you follow the Buddhist ideas or whether you're a Shaker. And the Shakers come to light in this story.
Just be careful, Howie.
I'm just trying to ascertain whether this happened or not.
Just be careful.
I know a couple of mates that go to the Shakers as well, Damo.
had some friends at the Shakers.
Who goes to the Shakers? Well,
I don't want to name them because religion is a very private and personal thing, Nathan. And apparently, the chief shaker, well, I don't know how you term him, the chief shaker,
the head pastor.
The head pastor is quite a fan of the Friday Huddle. And he found it quite funny, Nathan's top five a few weeks ago, with the chief, and he thought it was quite amusing, and he was very impressed by what he heard. So much so, now I don't know if this is true, Nath, that in a congregation of 2,000 or 3,000 people, a 2-hour special,
crowd, the Shakers, they
a very
3,
big crowd. I am told by my men and women that go there that Nath, on the back of his work on the Friday Huddle,
has been elevated up the chain, is he?
He got a personal shout out in the middle of the sermon in front of 2,500 people. Now, Nate, is this true? Did this
got some good mail there, Howard, right. And you've done it quite respectfully, but he did enjoy the top five I did on the Chief. A big fan of the Chief he was, and he gave me a shout out in front of, there was about 3,000 people there.
So mid-service.
Mid-service. He just he said that was very funny, that thing you did the other day.
For potting the Chief.
And he said, I want to pray for you. And he said, yeah, pretty much.
He ain't going to be shaking it for much longer, let me tell you.
And he just said, I want to pray for you. He goes, you light up a room when you go in there and you give people joy. Oh. And having a look at your faces right now, you're smiling. So he's right. Have a look at everybody except for Chief because he's quite angry at the moment.
So you got a personal shout-out.
A personal shout-out,
Christina,
Howard.
Tells you you're amazing.
This is the respect that I get when I go down here, not from you clowns over here, but see, you're all laughing, you're all smiling now because you've got joy in your life.
Can you believe where the man's come from? From where you first met him to the fact he's getting shouted out by the chief pastor?
I just he resembles nothing of the bogan that came down from Bendigo at
all. Matthew 5:15 says, you are the light, and that's me at the moment.
So far tonight, we've only been going half an hour or so. He's told us, his partner said, you're an amazing man, and now the head pastor says, you light up the room.
Yep.
And he's quoting Matthew 15.
What was the scripture?
You are the light.
How's that go? Just can you read it out?
That's all you need to know, David. We don't need to go any deeper.
And we're going to straighten up a touch here, Howie, after the start that we had, because the man we're speaking to is an all-time great. He's been a champion premiership player, captain of the Brisbane Lions, and finds himself now at the Port Adelaide Football Club. Michael Voss joins us. Welcome, Vossie.
Thank you, Gus. How you going?
Always good to chat to you, mate. I want to start, it's always exciting when a new player debuts. Tell us a bit about Lachie Jones.
Well, his mullet speaks for itself. So he certainly has a nice hairstyle to kick off his career. But yeah, he's tough and hard. I mean, there's Port Adelaide people are going to love this guy. The way that he plays, you know, he's got extraordinary power and speed. He'll develop into a very nice player for us.
Vossie, what happened last week, mate? That wasn't the Port we were expecting to see.
No, we just we didn't start the game with the normal hunt that we normally have in a game, and we know how tough the Eagles are on their home deck, and they brought everything, and they finger-tipped everything, you know, whether that was on a chase, whether that was on a spoil, and we just didn't bring that same level of intensity, and, you know, the game was gone before we woke up, and half-time we got ourselves going, but far too late, and West Coast were too good.
Vossie, is there any way to combat Nick Natanui? I mean, I thought he was the difference last week, 14 extra clearances, and we saw the night before Brisbane actually rove to Brodie Grundy and did it quite well. It was just, I thought it was the difference in the game, particularly early, and he just gave Kelly and those guys just so much free ball out of the middle.
Yeah, he did, and it's rare where you kick a goal and then 10 seconds later have to worry about a centre square bounce. You know, normally that's a nice proactive result out of a goal, is to go back and get another chance, but such was his dominance. But no, look, we had some really good meetings during the week about how we can counter that, should that get away from us again at some stage, whether that's tonight or another time. But we just didn't go to work hard enough. And when you don't do that and you've got aerial dominance like that, then you're going to find yourself in trouble.
Well, so you played the team that benefited greatly from having three tall men up forward in Bradshaw, Lynch and Brown. West Coast is doing it this year with Allen and Kennedy and Darling. And obviously tonight you're taking three big guys into that same part of the ground, Dixon, Georgiades and Marshall. Is it something you think you can lock into for the remainder of the year, or is this going to be a horses for courses arrangement?
No, most of the last year we played three talls of some type, so it's not a structure that's unfamiliar to us. Obviously, you know, we have to be mindful of the fact that, you know, we've got to make sure we bring ground level pressure as well. And, you know, while we were off in the middle of the ground last week, we just didn't get enough delay on the ball at any time when West Coast were able to get the ball back, and they were able to manage the ball speed, and it took us a long time to get the ball back. So, and it's become a hard part of the game with the new rules and man the mark rules, to get the ball back is a little bit harder. So we have to invest a bit more time into that to ensure that we get the result tonight.
Vossi, always interested in you and where you're at, as we know someone who's had an incredible record in the game. Is the ambition still there to continue your coaching career and take a senior job at some stage?
It's well and truly stated what my long-term intentions would be. I think that people sometimes mix that up with that means that that's next week or the week after. It's willing to be able to sit back and enjoy what we got here. And what we've got here is we've been able to establish some real genuine talent. We've got some youngsters coming through and they're going to be part of the club for a long period of time. And for me, I'm just sort of really want to embrace that and enjoy the year. And what happens next, we'll worry about that when it comes.
What's been said about the preliminary final? It's hard to imagine, given how recent it was, that the players have completely forgotten about it, Vossie.
Yeah, it still sits in the back of the mind. We felt like it was really important that we addressed it when we came back for pre-season, and we did that in the first week we returned. And it was very important for us to give our own meaning to it and sort of deal with the hurt that had come with it and don't use it as a motivator for our guys. And certainly we took it as that, and the guys had become hungry because of it. And you know, I would be lying if you say it didn't have a little bit more meaning for us tonight, the fact that we're playing against Richmond.
Michael, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Port Adelaide Footy Club tonight.
No worries, guys. Cheers.
Superstar of the game, Michael Voss. It's a good question you asked, Das. Like, just every time you hear him, whether it's speaking on the wireless or you see him on the television, do you think he'd just make a fantastic coach now with all the experience he's had?
Super impressive individual, isn't he? And he was in that bracket where, you know, we thought coming straight out of the game and straight into it with that sort of level. And you look at his record at Brisbane. They were going beautifully at various stages. They had a couple of things go wrong.
Going really well.
You would imagine over time you go back and someone like him who's just a lifelong learner and self-improver, you can't think but help but you know, believe that he's going to be better. Chief.
Well, yeah, I mean, often they get tainted if they have a poor first stint, coaches. But you've got to think second time around, they sit there and go, okay, what did I do wrong? What didn't I do well? What did I do well? What do I need help in? You've got to be better second time around.
Yeah.
And I think whilst they haven't started the way they want to, Brett Ratton's probably going to show us that at St Kilda as well. So I think Vossie's an attractive proposition as a coach going forward.
Damo News, bring us up to date.
Yeah, there's a couple of serious injury issues at the moment. This afternoon, the Crows released the fact that Rory Sloan, their captain, who started this year really well, has had a problem with a retina, basically a detachment of his retina, and had blurred vision during the course of the week. Brownie went and got some scans and is now going to be out for an unknown period. It's going to be 2 weeks as a minimum, and it could be a whole lot longer, but it's an unfortunate issue for obvious reasons, not least of all
that
he's...
You had a poke in the eye,
Damo? It was a blurred vision at training during the course of the week, is what the club has said today. And, beyond that, they just don't know exactly when it is that he's going to be back. Obviously, when it's a serious issue as an eye, you've got to put that first, and they're going to do that, and that's why it's a minimum of 2 weeks. But he started really well this year.
It's just bad timing because Grant crying out at Adelaide for leadership, and they've finally got it at the start of this year. Tex has been outstanding. Now, 3 goals to zip down early in that game against Gold Coast, and then they needed a clearance, and Rory Sloan was the one that got that clearance, and then he was the one that pumped it inside forward 50. They got their first goal. They're away. So they've just got this leadership at the moment at the footy club, and him missing. Hopefully they've set up something nice, and I think they should be able to get over the Kangaroos this week.
Yep. And confirmation today, too, that Luke Shuey, the West Coast Eagles superstar, who had his return game last week, damaged the hamstring late in that piece. He's going to miss close to half a season now. He's it's a tendon issue, Das.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's surgery on that tendon, and it's going to be every bit of 10 weeks. And obviously, when it's round 3 already, we're not going to see him at all until the second half.
He was brilliant last week, too,
Damo. Got the boat, didn't he?
Comeback game, he was just sensational. And it was the last couple of minutes of that quarter. Remember Nathan Buckley late in his career had hamstring tendon issues, and it just played him to the point where he almost, that was the end. So let's hope that's not the case for Luke Shuey.
And obviously Elliot Yeo already out indefinitely too with his many problems relating to OP type of matters. So they're two leading on ballers, you'd say, Chief, are going to be out for probably half the season at least. And there's still a big unknown about Yeo, given he finished 2020 with the same situation. And it's not the first time Shuey's had the soft tissue issues either.
What it does mean is if they can find a way to get enough wins in the bank by the latter end of the season, they're in a great position to get a bit of a boost if they can get those two players back. A bit of quality like that injected into the lineup could be just what they need to have a serious tilt in September.
Yep. And Lachie Neal, who's going to play against the Bulldogs tomorrow, Brisbane Lions, he was quite open post-match last week. I think it was with Daniel Cherney in The Age, but it has been a problem for him. It's a back problem that is really adversely affecting the way he goes about it, and it's quite courageous from what the people on the fringes of the Lions are saying, just to get himself up for each game that he's played to this point of this year.
Damo, Thursday Night Football, from all reports across both networks, Fox and Seven, has been an outstanding success.
Huge.
I think people typically don't go out on Thursday nights. It's been rating really well. But as the draw gets slowly released, it seems we're putting that on hold at the moment. It's an interesting decision.
It is. The first six rounds were released, as we know, last year. They had Thursday nights for rounds 1 through 5. There was none in round 6. Round 7 and 8 were released this week. No Thursday nights in either of those. I got the feeling there's not going to be Thursday nights in rounds 9 and 10 as well when they release those fixtures in a couple of weeks' time. And there will be probably another 5 to 6 between rounds 10 and round 23. That's sort of the rough thinking. But it's such a draw card now. And I don't think it would be a stretch in 2 to 3 to 4 to, let's go with 7 or 8 years' time, for the way behaviours change and habits change, that it could become the marquee slot. I reckon they've seen enough in that's dust, and you're the beneficiary of it, your network, and it's just
been
huge.
Does that mean I have to jostle for Thursday nights now, Dave?
Well, that could be the one.
Working overtime for Friday, now I've got to just shift my sights onto Thursday. I love Thursday night footy. I think it's a great time slot, and it was a good crowd last night, the SCG. So I know there's always a worry about can you get people out. There's nearly 30,000 there last night at the SCG, which is a great sign. So more Thursdays for
But if you're trying to increase revenue in the game in your next broadcast deal, I know both networks
end of 2024, I think.
Yeah,
is
they
that
put
right?
additions yeah, on. I think yeah, you're yeah, right. Yeah. So you're looking at something like Thursday night as something you can carve away and offer as a separate product to another network, the current network, a streaming network. To me, if that's a growing number on that night, it's a growing revenue issue.
Well, that's the American model, isn't it? So they just take the highest bidder. I think Amazon paid something ridiculous for how many Thursday night NFL games.
10 years
Amazon
worth
has brought the Thursday slot.
$1 billion.
I think it was over 10
Are they
years.
Not playing them through the middle period to keep people hungry for Thursday night?
Yeah, there's a couple of reasons. I think the primary reason, given what we've experienced last year, is the problem it causes with 5-day breaks for teams needing to be ready to play a Thursday. Also, too, if we were going to be spreading that load around, there's going to be some lesser teams who aren't winning matches into that slot because they're the ones that need to hit up the 5-day game breaks to be fair across the whole competition. There's a crowd component too, Brownie. There's an issue. It needs to be said. The crowds just haven't quite re-embraced the possibility and the allowance to go again, and there's issues with that. And the clubs are working through that really cleverly, but the requirements now to book your ticket long in advance of actually going to the game is a problem, and that Thursday night component to it is all part of that to try and condense the old habits of the weekend.
All this footy making you hungry, dig into Macca's new 100% Aussie chicken burgers like the seriously saucy Palmy Burger or the Fiery McSpicy. A burger so hot, it'll bring tears to your eyeballs. Get them as part of your Friday night footy feed at Macca's.
They should do a gluten-free range.
The Friday Huddle team sat down at their mahogany table to come up with the next big idea in radio. Then someone said,
hey, what if we do a countdown?
This is the Friday Huddle's Top 5.
I'm ready to laugh, Nate. I'm ready to laugh.
I've been given a timer here, Howard. Now, this is the top 5 cryptocurrencies, and I'm going to give you a bit of education. Top 5.
He's obsessed.
And I'm going to bring that back to players or footy clubs in the AFL and why you should be buying these sort of players. So the first one is number 5. Have you heard of NFTs on the blockchain, Howard? NFTs. These are the newest and most exciting thing in the crypto world. They are non-fungible. Do you know what non-fungible is, Howard?
No, I don't.
More or less means that it's unique and it can't be replaced with something else. For example, Bitcoin is fungible. You can replace that with another Bitcoin. A digital artwork, however, is non-fungible.
Oh, yes.
The virtual
fungible.
Coin at Christie's.
Got that right.
Fungible.
Right?
Yeah. At Christie's on Thursday. Mike Winkleman, a digital artist. Shut up, Damo. Artist, better known as Beeple, made history. He sold a non-fungible token, which is his artwork, for $69.4 million. Now, this is where this space is going.
What was it?
Just a digital artwork.
So what, though? What was the artwork?
Digital. It's on it's hard to describe
how
it's a whole lot of things
on
digital.
Was it a house?
We understand the format.
Was it an image?
I don't think you understand the format. I'm down to 3 minutes 49. But for number 5.
Can you look at it?
You can look at it.
And so what's in a picture
of?
All lots of little things
it's
put
digital,
together.
Howie.
It's digital.
It's non-fungible. That's what it is.
It's the artwork called Every Day is the First 5,000 Days. 69 million.
Chiefs backed away from the microphone.
Sydney, at the moment, are non-fungible. They are. You can't replace Isaac Heaney. You cannot replace Lance Franklin. And the young players, Wicks, Gould and McDonald, they are the NFTs of the AFL.
Chief.
Number four.
Chief.
Hang on, just give Chief.
There's four to go.
He's got four more. I have
Ethereum. Now, it's one of the original, Howard, and still the best. It's pioneered the blockchain smart contract platform. It seamlessly executes these contracts under pressure, despite pressure, hackers, censorship,
I'm
and fraud.
One.
Right, you're
right
big
into
on Ethereum.
Yeah.
So who is a player? And it also has other coins that go underneath it. Link, USDD.
Chiefs walking out.
Who
Chiefs walking out
in the football world is Ethereum? It has to be Scotty Pendlebury.
Of course.
Cool, calm, gets the job done. And like Ethereum, has spawned off young players who want to be like him, like Sam Walsh.
Just hang on.
So he's at number four. Chiefs, he walked out.
Chiefs just eased himself out.
He's on the couch.
They convinced me to come back. I thought
number
I
number three.
He's still going.
Is Kasama. Now, KSM is a testnet, Howard. It's experimental blockchain platform that is designed for other projects to launch to basically see if they're any good.
Okay.
The official launch that in August last year was $13. It's now $460.
Ooh.
That's Marcus Bontempelli. He is the prototype that every recruiter looks at to see if I can find a player like Marcus Bontempelli.
What was that one called?
Number three, Kasuma KSM. Okay. So then, Polkadot. This is Dot. This is the polka dot system, Howard.
Oh, you're taking the
Once piece. You've been on Kasuma, now you've proved your worth. Now you get to the exciting new polka dot system. That's
What's
when
that?
You are on there and basically facilitates everything, every asset type, whether it's private, public, whatever. And I think this is Changwath Giath. He is the polka dot of the
CJ.
Football world. He is exciting as any player gets. You look at him, and he is just going to go to the stars. He is unbelievable.
Chiefs
and let's go to number one. And
you know when you said this was just you, not audio?
Yeah.
I think you're better when you bring audio.
And music.
There are thousands of coins out there, Howard, and
Duke
and Damo.
I just think when you're relying on
and
other people's
stuff you,
humor,
Chiefs, sitting out there.
Better. Go on, keep going. You're going well.
The original and still the best and the biggest is Bitcoin, Howard.
No.
And like gold only wishes it could move like Bitcoin. Properties are now being bought weekly with the gains that we're getting in Bitcoin. When it moves like a freight train and other coins can't go with it. And the number one player in the game, the Bitcoin man, is Dustin Martin. Three Norm Smiths, a Brownlow medal, the best individual performance you'll ever see in a grand final. And Dustin Martin is the Bitcoin of the AFL world, Duke.
Mate. There you go. There's your top five.
You blokes can get stuffed. And
I want to go back to that image, the NFT, the digital image.
It's digital, Damo.
Yeah, but what was it?
Well, I'll get it up. Leroy will get it up. It's very hard to explain.
You know how this show goes into a podcast now? I don't reckon that'll make the final.
That's it.
I don't think it's making the final cut. Now, Das, two weeks ago when we had our typical huddle, we had a new segment that went gangbusters, where people ring in and try and beat our man, the Chief, who has a phenomenal knowledge of music.
You're overplaying it, I'm telling you.
So you're very good, Chief.
I don't think you'll be beaten all year.
Chief sits on the set at Fox Footy.
He does. And Donnie
plays a song.
And Chief just goes, bang. So as a result of that, we have now the prize pack today is some candles from
SOH. Yep.
SOH.
Yep.
There's a Howie Games
Bitcoin.
Howie Games sticker.
Howie Games bumper sticker.
No,
you get
Bitcoin.
What do you get with your
2 weeks of retreat at Sukhavati, Bali?
Is it open?
No, but
you can't travel till 2029,
so you need to use
it. What are
the
you
next
throwing
month.
In, Damo? A ride in the muscle car.
Maybe.
Right, that's a Triple M mystery packet. It's time for.
It's time to test your knowledge against footy's greatest musical mind.
Get on with it, Flav.
This is Beat the Chief.
Right, the old board lit up and we've got Marcus from Monstervat on the line. G'day, Marcus. How are you?
Hello, boys. How are you going?
Good. You know your music, Marcus?
Oh, I think so. Better than the Chief.
Well, we'll soon find out.
Who do you support?
Who do you support in the footy?
I'm the blues man.
Hey, Marcus, where's Monstervat?
Out in Eltham, the leafy green, northeast.
The Blues, did you ever go and watch the footy and the Chief just take you to the cleaners?
Mate, I remember going as a young lad out to Princess Hutchins, put my helmet on his head, give him a good clip. Didn't get near the and that's I want to run this tonight as well.
He's lippy old, mate, isn't he?
He is. I like it. So
you brought up the helmet, Chief. That wasn't a great look for you, the helmet was.
I didn't have much option, Jude.
The diving bell.
I was there. Courage. The day.
Courage.
As a Hawthorn
when he
supporter.
Got his head caved in that day.
Got tears in my eyes as a young man down from the Latrobe Valley when your hero goes down like that.
Yeah, I thought he overplayed it a bit.
Seemed a bit innocuous.
Overplayed a fractured skull.
He came back a week later, I think, Brady.
No, he was out for a while.
Marcus, what we've got is one-hit wonders from the 70s and 80s. I will name the song, and you have to beat the Chief by telling me who the band is. Now, Marcus, your buzzer is Marcus. Give it a try.
Marcus.
And Chief, yours is going to be Beat the Chief, but you came up with another one.
Superstar tonight.
Superstar. It was Captain Fantastic in the first week.
Captain Awesome.
Captain Awesome. All right, here we go. Marcus versus the Chief. Who sung this one-hit wonder, Stuck in the Middle?
Superstar. Steal as Will.
Oh. That's what he does. Yeah, you're in charge of the score this.
Reservoir Dogs.
This is how good he is. One nil.
No,
the
only because I've seen the movie.
Okay, here we go. All right, classic song. Final Countdown.
Superstar. Europe.
Europe. Oh, are you there, Marcus?
Yeah, mate.
Okay.
Play what he wanted.
Test your buzzer again.
Marcus.
Okay. Mm. All right, here we go. Oh, a bit of kung fu fighting.
Superstar.
Yes.
Carl Douglas.
See this man. He's Damo. Another level. Duff reckons that Kangaroos won't win a game all year. I'm declaring Chief will not get beaten all year.
I will.
He's making a joke out of Marcus. Here we go. Tainted.
Superstar.
Yes.
Tainted Love.
Yes.
Yeah, Soft Cell.
Yes. I didn't even have the name of the song right. He still got it. 4-0.
Oh, right.
And I'm guaranteeing you, we do not tell the Chief beforehand. He's that good.
You're not crowing too much there, Marcus, are you?
Come on, Marky boy. Here we go. This is a chance for you. Come on, Eileen.
Superstar.
Yes.
Dexys Midnight Runners.
You're back! What's your score? Give your score update to us.
It is 5 to
he's
Chief, and it is 0 to Marcus,
he's a freak.
Who's in all sorts. Marcus, would you have got any of these right or not?
Probably Dexys Midnight Runners. That's about it, really.
Righto. Well, have another crack here. Your next song.
Give me a chance, Chief.
Relax.
Superstar.
Yes.
Frankie Goes Home.
Oh, this is playable. It's awesome. Come on, Marcus. We'll push on here.
I reckon we give Marcus like a 3-second lead in. So you say 3-2-1, and then the Chiefs allowed to come in.
I'm going to hand it to
you. Okay. Here we go, Marcus. Safety Dance. 3-2-1.
Superstar.
Yes.
Men Without Hats.
Yes, we need 5 seconds, Noodles. We'll give him a 5-second lead in. 5 seconds we'll give him.
Good song.
You should get this one.
You've got to get out more, Chief.
Teenage Dirtbag. One.
Wait, Marcus?
Yes.
Waited.
Yes, you're on the board, Marcus.
2000s. Well, you say 70s, 80s.
Hey, it was a one hit. We'll continue here. 2 to go. Gangster's Paradise. One.
Marcus?
Yes.
Coolio.
Yes.
Well,
and now we're going back head to head because you got 2 in a row. Finally, you only get what
Marcus.
You give. Marcus?
New Radicals.
Yes.
Good.
Strong finish. That's it, though. End number?
7-3 smashing
three,
for the
same
Chief.
As it was first time round. Marcus, you got anything smart to say for yourself now?
Oh, they're a bit poor for my generation.
Whatever. Got excuses, Beg.
You know, in the immortal words of someone that cares, Marcus, ship off.
That's it for Marcus, he's gone.
You know the funny part about that? Chief was genuinely dirty when we handicapped him.
He was.
Put his hand up.
Only because I was going to blot him because he bagged the helmet.
Where does it come from? Was it?
They were easy songs.
But did you just grow up listening to music nonstop?
Yeah, always listen to music.
Wow. Extraordinary.
Something funny I saw during the week, Howie, when I played.
We'll be the judge whether it's funny. Give us a go.
Tennis with the Chief.
Oh, yes.
He's pulled out. Like Duke's worn a glove before, he pulled out one glove and started playing tennis in one black glove.
MJ, Michael.
What, a cross between Michael Jackson and Andy Roddick?
On the racket hand or not?
Yeah, on the racket hand, because I sweat so much.
You wouldn't believe the sweat that was on the court.
They make these all with the golf gloves. And I thought, I'll try it on the tennis court.
And cut the fingers out of it?
No. Full glove.
Oh.
There was that much sweat on the tennis court. One of the guys who were playing, we said, who spilt their water down here?
It's like a sprinkler
It was
system.
Just cheap.
Right, hang on a minute. So you had a crack at me ordering a gluten-free pizza tonight, and you're in a golf club.
Yep.
For your competitor.
And I'd still rather be wearing the glove than ordering my gluten-free vegetarian pizza.
Were you able to hold the racket
golf
okay,
glove?
Yeah, because the wetter it gets, the grippier it gets.
Yeah, okay.
Is there any idea, I shouldn't ask this, but is there any photographic evidence of the golf club?
No, there's not. I wanted to, but I was told very, any, very quickly.
So
that,
you don't have a photo that you've been told not to show anyone?
No, I've been told not to show it, so I deleted it in respect of the chief.
So there is. Right.
So there was a photo. There
it's
was.
Up in the cloud, Dave. You go looking for it.
It's an NFT.
It's non-fungible.
Damo, let's get some news away.
Yeah, for those who haven't caught up with it, Rory Sloane out for a minimum 2 weeks with a detached retina.
But do you think it'll be longer, don't you?
It could be, Chief. Yeah, just the way it's being talked. But they're saying 2 weeks as a minimum at this stage. So missing tomorrow's game, obviously, for the Crows against North Melbourne. Luke Shuey, surgery on a hamstring tendon. That's going to be every bit of 10 weeks for him on the sidelines. Lockie Neal play tomorrow, but was carrying it back. One we didn't get to, for injury-wise, was Isaac Heaney, who's broken his hand, as was called last night, but it emerged today that it was in an off-the-ball incident with Brandon Zirk-Thatcher. Again, just pushing and shoving off the ball. There's nothing untoward. There's from Brandon Zirk-Thatcher's point of view, it was just a hand caught up in that scuffle, so he's going to be missing 4 weeks. Just the last play of the game, effectively, Dust, you called it last night, and I had the same view as you, that Tom Hickey taking that ball out of the ruck and then choosing to play on. That's all allowed these days, but I felt that the way he disposed of that ball was not in keeping with the rules. The AFL has cleared that passage of play as being rightly adjudicated.
Can't see how they can do that, don't we? Understand now they give ruckman leeway to be able to grab it. There was a period of time where if you grabbed it out of the ruck and someone put their arm around you, it was holding the ball.
Yeah, grabbing it out of the ruck was considered your prior opportunity.
Yeah.
It is no longer considered prior
Correct.
Opportunity.
Yep.
But he then ran and took people on and disposed of it incorrectly.
And got tackled perfectly. Yeah. That has to be holding the ball, Dame. I cannot understand how they take
that. I was with
off.
You on the way you called that last night. I was surprised to see what they've said today, that was the right decision. Nick Cox was the tackler, and they would have had 45 seconds left to get the ball down the other end of the ground by a goal.
Sandals.
I want to speak to you, Dust. I've heard a few people talk during the course of the week with what Nathan Buckley said last week, with Brodie Grundy getting 63 hitouts to 4 against the Brisbane Lions last week and yet not having the dominance you'd expect with that sort of number. Whose issue is it? Is it a complete midfield division? Is it a complete club issue? Is it a Brodie Grundy issue?
See, I think Nathan Buckley said the hit-out stat is the most overrated stat in the game, and I've always subscribed to that, Damo, because it doesn't always correlate with the dominance. It's why we get so excited about Nick Nanninui and what he does, because his craft and understanding of the circle, and to me, the ruckman is the one who controls that area of the ground. So I put that back onto Brodie Grant. And part of the art sometimes is actually, you don't even have to win the hit, creating the space that allows your midfielder to get it. So Nick Nanninui's got the ability to hit the ball, any part of the circle that he wants, from any direction, jump from any side. That is such a talented thing to be able to do. He can go and put it in the exact direction where the opposition think it's going to go and set his midfielders up at the same time. So someone with Brodie Grundy that has got that ability to win them, you think there's a bit of work he should be able to do to get more advantage out of it. And if he doesn't, it's easier to read someone if they haven't got flexibility. So if Brodie Grundy's hitting it to one spot and that's all he can do, you're better off losing it sometimes.
Were you surprised how easy last week Brisbane actually picked off Brodie Grundy? Because it was just a procession out of the middle. It was like Collingwood expected the ball to be hit in a certain position, but Brisbane players just got in front, took front position, and then routed them.
Aaron Sandilands had more hit-outs than anyone in the history of the game. He's nearly 7 feet tall. You could not at times get anywhere near jumping over him, but you could set up your whole midfield around the fact that you knew he couldn't hit it to about three quarters of the circle. So
I can't believe you're potting Brodie Grundy for winning the hitouts. What about the rest of your midfield?
Yeah.
The opposition know where it's going, but so do you. So how about you get in there and get it?
I'm not letting them off the hook either, Chief.
But goodness.
I let the responsibility to be able to find a few other tricks that allow you to get more dominance out of that hitout.
Brownie, you said they let Brisbane pick them off. So what were the midfielders doing while Brisbane were picking them off? Just watching.
Well, they weren't watching, Chief, but they were certainly trying to put pressure on, but it just seemed like
they shouldn't be putting pressure on. They should be getting the ball.
Well, what we're saying is they should have had more of the ball because they had first use and they should know where it's going.
So why
but
didn't
Brisbane
they get that ball?
Were able to read that and they were able to take it out and they
How
won the contested
footy. How can they read it better than the people that know where it's going?
Well, they did. That was the game. That was the game, and then that's how Brisbane got on
poor
top in the second
Brody
half.
You're hooking into. What about?
I'm a huge fan of Brody.
What about the flogs around him?
He's a star, but if you win at 60,
I was just praising Brisbane in the midfield how they read it.
What about the other flogs around?
What about Duke turning on a ruckman? When did this happen? This is not good. And a little drive by for Aaron Sandilands as well.
A retrospective.
The only one he complimented was Nick Nat. The rest of them are hacks.
What about the drive by you gave the Collingwood midfield? What about the flogs around?
Oh, any chance?
Jeez. He's in good form, our man, Dave.
He's in flying form. The roving or rolling fixture, which was the advent of COVID last year, it's obviously clearly now part of the go-forward element of the AFL. So they've released rounds 7 and 8 this week. They'll release rounds 9 and 10. I believe there'll be rounds 11 and 12 also in a block as well. And beyond that point, they may do a batch. But it just, the more you see it, it just makes the most sense to do it the way they're doing it and the way COVID-19 forced it upon the competition. I understand why they got the first 6 rounds out of the way, but it just makes total sense, be given the Swans have now got the Saturday slots in both rounds 7 and 8, and the Tigers have got the Friday slots in both those rounds.
Love it, Damon. Spot on as always. All right, time for our special guest. The man is...
The Friday Huddle's cult hero of the week is a man who has many strings to his bow.
Did well, should have got a free run.
He played 185 games for Richmond, Port Adelaide and Melbourne before turning his hands very successfully to goal umpiring. But those achievements pale into insignificance when you stack them up against his Dancing with the Stars victory in 2014.
Oh, what's he done? David Roden is doing the work.
Please welcome the Fijian flyer, David Roden.
Many talents. He joins us on the Friday Huddle. We're all smiling with the opportunity to speak to him. David Roden joins us. G'day, Dave. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. I'm still trying to get over that intro.
It's a big intro. Well-deserved. Well-deserved.
I don't know if it was, but I'll take it.
You can't be around this man without smiling, Howie. That's how good he is.
Well, you would have spent a bit of time with him, Nate.
I did. A wonderful player and a wonderful human being more so. And D-Rod, it's great to have you on the Friday Huddle. And goal umpiring, mate, tell me how you took to it, because I was talking to Wayne Campbell a fair while back, and I believe at one stage you guys were talking about you doing backflips in the goal square after a goal scored. Is that true?
That is true. Yeah, that is true. Obviously, that was well before I thought I'd, you know, sort of make it on an AFL list. But, it was just getting into it. Obviously, I got into it through working with the diversity department and getting, different communities into the game of AFL. And then, obviously, through that, there was plenty of communities that I think discovered umpiring. And there's a lot of sort of benefits that they loved. And through that, I sort of wanted to get involved and, be a shining light and see that they can, if I can do it, you know, they can definitely do it as well.
We are a shining light, David, because when I'm at home watching the footy or lucky to call a game that you're umpiring, as soon as the ball goes through the sticks, you signal with the biggest smile on your face. Do you realise that you got the big cheesy grin when someone kicks a goal?
I do. So it's funny, I get a lot of comments about that, where it's funny when you actually do the goal signal, it's... obviously, you want to do it with a straight face and you want to do it, you know, do it well. But obviously, some of the goals that they kicked are pretty amazing goals. And obviously, can't not smile or, you know, give it a bit of love through my smile. So
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, David, I want to go back to your playing career for a moment. 185 games, was it?
Correct.
Which is an outstanding career. But with what you brought to the table, could easily have been 250. We're talking about an explosive game, speed, the ability to kick goals. What was it that brought the career to an end? Was it the body? Was it injuries? Was it motivation?
No, it was just the last game. I remember pretty vividly around Adelaide Crows. Yeah, we played them at Amy Stadium and I did my knee in the first quarter. So it was my fourth knee for my career. So fourth ACL. And yet, like you said, I probably should have played 350, I think. obviously... When that happened and I was 30, I thought, sheesh, better start listening to the body here.
Yep.
And obviously, I've got 4 young boys that I want to sort of run around with when they get a bit older. So I thought I might look after the life later on and pull up the boots. But, definitely it was just the injury. And, I'm one of those that, I wanted to see how far I could go. And unfortunately, I didn't get to play as many games for Melbourne as I thought I was in the end. But That's the way it goes.
And you're a key player in that 2007 Port Adelaide team, which ultimately had a bad result on the last game of the year. But it must have been pretty special to have got to that day, the grand final day, and been a significant member of such a good team.
Yeah, it was. So obviously 07, you know, I like to think of it as a fantastic year. I think a lot of people didn't sort of see us, I guess, making finals, let alone going deep into finals. And we had I remember that was Robbie Gray, Travis Boak, and you know, Justin Westhoff's first year in the AFL. And they had obviously great first seasons, and then we sort of went on and played the best team that had been around for a long time, and that started their, I guess, dynasty, the Geelong Cats. So I'd like to think it was a great year. Obviously not a great day on grand final day, but they had a fantastic year, and I think they were sort of well deserved it, I think, that year.
Were you fearful of the result that ultimately happened going into it, or was it just something that you may have sort of got wind of halfway through the first quarter?
Oh, look, leading into the game, definitely. Look, it's just we, obviously, I don't know if you remember, we played them at Cadinia Park, and I think Dom Cassisi kicked a left foot goal within the last minute of the game, and we beat them. That was the last time we played them. I think it was the last round of the year. And then we met them in the grand final, and they spanked us. So, we definitely knew that we could stack up. We should play our best footy, but look, on the day, they were undeniable.
Speaking to David Roden, one of the most popular people in the AFL system right throughout his playing career, and we love him as a goal umpire. You were born in Fiji, D-Rod, and we were speaking about Nick Natanui earlier. I know AFL scouts have been touring Fiji to try and find other athletes like Nick Nat. Is there more to come, do you think? Because it's such a great part of our game, isn't it? The cultural diversity that you play a big role in.
Correct, mate. Yeah, look, I think that's the exciting thing. I think a cousin of my other player, Carlisle, who played at Port Adelaide, and Nick, we started AFL Fiji in 2009. So that was his main purpose to get some talent over there. We've got sort of a million Nick Nat Newies over there. I think they would love to come over here for an opportunity, not just obviously for footy, but obviously to set themselves up in education and work. There's very limited opportunities in the island. So we're starting to, obviously, we've been working at it a little while. I think a big of it's just getting the locals to take to it, because rugby's number one over there. Mm. And always will be, but it's more just, I guess knowing that sort of Nick's doing his thing, you got Sava, Radigalia doing his thing as well. And we're starting to have a few more Fijians playing, and it's starting to shine a light over there in Fiji. And look, there is plenty of talent there that can definitely come over. Hopefully a bit more to come.
David, you took to the screens of Channel 9 each year with the player review on the footy show, which was quite extraordinary, and then moved on, as we heard in the intro, to win Dancing with the Stars. What was the experience like? Who was your partner? Is it a cash prize situation on Dancing with the Stars? How does all that work?
Yeah, well, look, to be honest, the last thing I thought I was going to do. But when I finished, obviously my career, did my knee, they got on pretty quickly. I think they wanted to get me on the show. They said they'd see me on the footy show reviews for a few years, and they wanted to see how I'd go with that. Look, to be honest, it's one of the most nerve-wracking things I've ever done in my life. I've never been so scared in my life. Especially that first episode about sort of, doing something I don't think I'm fantastic. I've never done before. And then you've got to learn new dances every week to a waltz or a foxtrot or whatever it is, and then go on live TV and expose yourself. It's pretty full on. So, it was a great idea, and obviously one of the best things we've done.
Good on you, David. Appreciate your time. We're out of it. Love your work.
Don't wrap D-Rod up,
David,
like that.
Roses, how are you? Triple M Rocks. Footy.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M Rocks Footy.